Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And I suggest you shut up and show more football.
Come on, come on. Take it. We've done that then. Can we not knock it?
I am flabbergasted. I wouldn't even let them on the bus after the match. I get a taxi back to Manchester.
Again, please don't call me arrogant, because what I'm saying is true. I think I'm a special one.
When the seagulls follow the trawler, it's because they think sardines will be thrown into the sea. Thank you.
Understand what I'm trying to get at. Yes, he was a great player. Yes, he was a wonderful leader. But he wasn't a magician.
Take him, Bowson. I mean that. Take him.
Here we go again. My name's Richard Keys. I'm the milk monitor this week.
What does that mean?
It means that you ran out of milk.
Yes,
and I had to go and get some.
Yes.
Arriving at the shop to find that it was closed.
Well, that's not my fault.
Returned to my freezer to bring a bottle of milk in order that I could have a cup of tea this morning. It's not the first time in my life I've delivered milk.
Right.
I used to do it as a lad.
So and me?
Let me ask you this question.
Yes, Nigel.
If you know that you have a bottle of milk in your fridge at home, why running up to the store?
Well,
because he walks past the store.
Because I didn't want to give away my supplies, in truth. I'm going away for a fortnight. Okay. Therefore, I thought, I've got that in the freezer, frozen. Always keep a bottle of milk in the fridge.
Yes, me too.
And a loaf of Marks and Spencer bread. I like proper bread. I like to be able to cut my own bread.
Well, excuse me.
But that's just there for emergencies.
No, I was just...
I used to deliver milk with Leslie when I was 12 years old.
Okay.
I delivered milk. Yeah. I used to get up 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
To go Sloan's, where the suppliers of the milk. 3 in the morning, I'd go downstairs, deliver the milk, come back, get changed, go to school.
Yeah. There you go, you see.
£2.50 a week.
Yeah.
I got half a crown. Leslie used to give me half a crown.
Half a crown?
Yeah, Saturday morning, Sunday morning, just for 2 or 3
That's
hours.
Slave labour.
I know.
I get £2.50.
I was a paper boy when I was young.
You didn't get £2.50, you got £2.10.
£2.10. I was a paper boy.
There's nothing exceptional about that.
What is it? No. Exceptional? Throwing papers around.
I didn't like the idea of paper boy. I tried it once or twice. Like I went to the local Cleveland service station, petrol station.
Yeah.
I was serving petrol at 14. No, yeah.
Paper boy and milk boy, me.
Yeah.
Now, that was a decent job. I got £1.25.
Holiday jobs.
Did you like me? Did you collect the money when you were a paper boy?
Yeah.
See, I was petrified. I used to crap myself on a Friday night.
Why?
Oh my God. Well, I lived in Drumchapel.
There's some sense in this.
Well, you did it in the evening.
I lived in Drumchapel. I lived in Drumchapel, which was, you know, in those days, you know, 1 or 2 around.
Testing.
So I used to sneak up the stand, you'd knock the door, you know. Paper money, the wee guy would come, it was once happened, I knocked the door and the little kid came to the door about 6 or 7. I says, paper money. And he went, my mum's not in. I says, all right, when will she be back? Hold on. Mum, when will you be back? But then when you collected the money, everybody knew paper boys collecting money on a Friday night. And they were vulnerable to, let's just say, being relieved of that amount of money.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I used to crap myself. Nice.
Same happened in the Grey household. Gas man. Mum's not in.
Mum's not in.
Mum's not in.
My brother will have to put the meter up. My brother was a gas. Can I tell that story?
Yes,
that
of course my you can.
Right, obviously.
That's why I mentioned
it. We're not well-to-do. You know, we're like 4 boys and my mum in the same house at times and 2 bedrooms. So, times are tight. So, what my brother used to do was a gas fitter. He used to take the meter out, right? And if you put a U-bend between what comes in and what comes out, yeah. it's just a continuous supply of gas.
Yeah.
You don't pay for it. Mm-hmm. So we had to try and time it that before the gas man came, we had to get the meter back up. So my brother used to say, when the gas man came, I said, you have to come back. And then that would be out. That's a cue for my brother, Wally, to go and reconnect the gas meter. Put a couple of pennies in it. The guy would come and go, oh, there's not much in this meter. We'd go, we haven't used much gas this month.
Smart thinking. Oh,
that's great.
That's brilliant.
Anyway, wherever you are in the world, whatever time zone you're in, you are very welcome. And it's great to have your company. Now you found us, tell your mates where we are. We like to have a chat, a chuckle, occasionally tell the odd story as we just have done. Last week, spend 15 minutes talking about cars. Invitation for Jay Leno to join us is in. I'm hoping that it will be productive.
Yeah.
No one talks more sense about cars than him these days. Yeah. And this week's guest, mm-hmm. Andy Townsend.
Yeah, good lad.
About Villa, because I'm slightly concerned, Andy, about the direction in which your football club's going.
Yeah, I just think they're stuck between a rock and a hard place, maybe. You know, we have got a bigger squad, a group of players, good quality to choose from. But I just don't know or don't think that Dean's quite settled on a way of playing where he can get all his best players on the pitch.
Mm.
You know, if he plays three at the back, he has two wing-backs and they're invariably full-backs. That means no place for Leon Bailey, no place for Ben Dia, really, who both play on the wide areas higher up the pitch. So it might be that he has to tinker with it, and it might be he's not going to get Danny Ings and Ollie Watkins in the same pitch now. It might just happen.
Yeah.
Just to finish the introductions, that is Andy Gray, and this is DJ Nigel de Jong. You can get to us on Instagram and Twitter at Keys and Gray Pod.
Excellent.
Please do. We're always very interested in what you've got to say.
Definitely.
So we're recording Friday morning in a week when Newcastle United briefed heavily that Unai Emery would be their next manager. He subsequently decided against taking the job. I'm gutted. I was desperate for him to work back in the English Premier League.
For which reason were you gutted?
Good evening.
No, listen, do you think if he came back in, he would utter the words good evening?
Yes.
No, he wouldn't.
Oh, well, I would have been
somebody
very disappointed.
Somebody would have told him. Somebody told him,
his BR team.
Don't say that.
Why didn't they say that at Arsenal? Stop saying that.
Yeah.
It was good evening.
First of all.
Anyway, it looks now as though it's going to be Eddie Howe. All the smart money says Eddie Howe. Mm-hmm. What do we make of that as an appointment for Newcastle United?
Well, it says something about
the former Bournemouth and Burnley manager. It seems to have been forgotten by everybody that he had two bang ordinary years at Burnley.
Was it 2 years? I didn't think it was that long.
Yeah.
Getting on for two. Really struggled to adjust to life in the
north. How long has he been out of a job? A
couple of years?
Yes, since Bournemouth went down. So that the whole of last season and this, yes.
And this season, two seasons without a job. Mm-hmm. And then you probably going to take the most important job, you know, in English football at this stage with the new owners and a club takeover.
Mm.
So what do we make of it? Do you think it's the right decision to go with him if it's going to be decided that he's going to be the new manager?
Look around. Who is there?
Yeah, but that's the thing. Availability.
Well, in my view, the best candidate
to keep them up.
Someone that knew about relegation battles, somebody that understood the football club. And instead of that, you've embarrassed yourself making this failed bid for Unai Emery, who I don't think would have fitted the bill either. Look at Villarreal's recent form, three wins in 13, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
So you now turn to new Alan Pardew. And I'm not saying that to be unkind, and Pards is a mate. What I'm saying is that Geordie fans reacted really badly to Mike Ashley's consistent appointments of southern-based
managers.
So what you're going to say, they should have kept Brucey for this year. Is that what you're saying?
I would have kept Brucey until I could have appointed, in my view, the best man for the job for Newcastle United is Rafa Benitez, who they love in that part of the world and would have been the perfect fit.
Well, if you continue the way he performs with Everton, it might be a chance that you can get appointed for Newcastle.
Phil, wait.
So you want to keep the interim manager at this stage? I think
the trouble with the interim manager for me, Graham Jones, is it?
Yeah.
I think Graham realizes that I might not be able to keep this team up.
No.
I don't want to be responsible for taking them down.
The way he's spoken about the previous manager as well. So you're saying
Steve Bruce was the right man at this stage to keep him up?
Yes.
But don't you think that it was undeniable going the wrong way anyway, especially with the fans abusing him, you know, the way the pressure was on. So it was not going to go the right way anyway. So they had to get rid of him.
I think you're right, Nige. But the problem is I've always said this, and it's a bit like with Solskjaer, that I feel with Solskjaer, people say he was going. I say, that's fine. You can say he's going, but who's there to actually take his place? Have you got somebody set up quality-wise that's going to take his place? And I just wonder with Newcastle, with all this adverse publicity that's surrounded this takeover, where managers are going, oh, I want nothing to do with that club right now. Yeah. You know, not saying it's toxic, but that kind of thing. Do you know what I'm saying?
Why don't you think managers look at the current situation where the team is at in the league?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're a real well respected manager and you see Newcastle sitting at 4 points,
almost down
in relegation, and you know that gap is already 6 points for being safe right now, and they still have to go 10 games in order to get new players in January. So that's not even a security.
Yeah, but who is?
So as a manager, don't you think like Emery?
Would you not look at the players you've? If you were going in there, nice, right? Let's say you're at the age now. You're going in there. You're a young man. You're a young manager. I would look at the group, and I would have to say, do I think this group of players are better than where they are? I would say 100% they are. This club should not be languishing. 4 points, did you say?
They've got 4 points.
Four points. With the quality of the footballer they have available to choose from, I don't think they should be. If you were confident in your own ability, surely you would go in there and say, I can turn this around.
Yeah, yeah. Can I just put this to you? Can you imagine the phone calls that will be made in January? Hello, Killian. It's Eddie Howe.
No.
Sorry,
no,
who?
No.
Who?
No, phoning Killian. No.
I exaggerate, yes, obviously, I know, and I'm trying to make the point. Which of Europe's big names are going to be impressed by the appointment of Eddie Howe at Newcastle United? Who in the UK is going to take the risk of joining a team that will doubtless still be in the bottom three in January? It's all very well saying they've got money to spend in January.
Yeah, but there's an answer there.
Who?
Yeah, but that's your answer. So that phone call will never happen. If Eddie Howe is going to be appointed as the manager, he's going to go.
But this is the ambition.
So you got to search for players, right? Yep. That can lay a foundation for safety right now this year.
Who?
So it's not going. Yeah, the players are going to be available on the market.
You might.
Maybe it's going to be loan players, loan deals.
Could be.
I mean, you look at the likes of, for example, Donny van der Beek. He's not playing at United. Is he going to be an option for Newcastle in January?
No, he's not going to take you out of relegation trouble.
I'm not saying that he's going to be the only one. You have to have a group of players that can lay the foundation in order for you to be safe.
Yeah.
Because, don't understand, when we play with City, when we come through the ranks with City, we didn't go for the top stars straight away.
No.
We laid a foundation of players who could make sure that that foundation was laid, even though the situation was different.
Yes, but you weren't in the bottom three.
I'm saying the situation was different. So now you have to go for players that are willing to come to Newcastle, knowing in the back of their mind there's a possibility to go down.
There's a level of player.
There's a possibility
to go down. You have to go for now. You see, people always say, well, your first signing will set the standard. So it needs to be a marquee signing so that the fans can go, yes, we mean business. And that's not going to happen, in my opinion. I don't think they'll get a marquee signing this year. Maybe not even next year. It's a project that's starting from a low base. It's like a ladder, isn't it? You start at the bottom wrong and you start walking up.
I get all of that.
So they've got to build it. They can't go from the bottom of the ladder to the top.
I understand.
In one leap.
But they're talking about putting Eddie in for 2.5 years.
Right.
Now,
turns out to be a magnificent manager?
You can't justify
it. Well, he won't.
If he does?
Can you justify it to him as well?
You won't.
Give him a year.
Because he
is. Give him a year.
He's a nice fella.
So you can justify to give him a year.
He will play football, quotes, the right way.
So if you were the owner,
am I excited by the prospect of Eddie Howe managing my team?
They were excited with Unai Emery.
Yeah.
Very excited.
Because there's a... there's a mystery about someone like that.
Because he's foreign.
He's Spanish.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
I don't understand why they even go for him, because he failed in the Premier League with Arsenal. So I wouldn't. And he's a better manager in Spain than in the
smoke and mirrors, Nigel. Yeah.
Now listen to me. What I would say as well. Why you gotta look at why did Emery not go for the job?
Well, right now I don't think anybody's too bothered about why he didn't go for the job.
No, it is, because the availability is less and getting less and less when you look at the proper managers that want to come into you.
I mean, from what I've read about...
So it's not a money. It's not a money issue for
Of course
anyway.
It's not.
No, so it's not a money issue.
You have to You're making my point about who do they go and sign. It isn't a money issue.
No, but you need to have a
Let's just say Newcastle are relegated.
Mm-hmm.
EFL financial fair play regulations are stricter, as we found out in recent years, than they are in the Premier League. Does the EFL board have a problem with the ownership of that football club? They may have. I don't know. I suspect probably not. But it's a consideration. Mm-hmm. Getting out of that league is not going to be about throwing as much money as you've got around and thinking that it'll be okay, because it might not.
No. Getting out of that league is getting the right players.
Which is why I just scratch my head and say,
that league.
Eddie Howe, really?
Yeah, but what is the other opportunity that Newcastle have right now? And don't you think that they already went through their Rolodex looking for managers that could be available
People
in January?
People laughed at me recently. You've got to have someone that's had the experience of what they're going through. Mark Hughes is available and knows exactly what going through this is like. He's done it. Mm-hmm. Both in terms of the build at Manchester City and scrapping at the bottom end of the league.
Yeah.
Mark's not a fool.
No, he's not. Mm-mm. No.
Mark's not a fool.
No.
Yeah,
but would that excite...
They want a chief
here
exec.
Here we go again.
Gary
here we
Cook.
Go again.
Yeah. Gary yeah. Cook.
I mean, would as that excite Newcastle fans?
As a sporting director, you mean?
But, see, that's the trouble. Walk before you can run. And at the moment, what they're trying to do is they're trying to go from 0 to 100 mile an hour.
The only person
in about a second,
that would excite Newcastle fans is Benitez. Now, would he meet? No. Am I a fan? No. Would I wish for him to be employed somewhere other than Everton? Yes,
yeah,
100%. So do it. You know, surely Everton have realised now that they've made a calamitous error in appointing this guy. Surely.
Well, I don't know if it's calamitous.
Well, you watch over the next six games.
I
the atmosphere
will.
When
I
they lost
closely.
At home to Watford was toxic, Andy.
It wasn't good. I know that. I know that. And you know how I feel about Benitez taking over at Everton. I was never for it, and I've never been for it. Although I want my club desperately to succeed.
Of course we do. But it's a wonderful way out of a problem that should not have arisen for everybody. Mm. For everybody. And in Newcastle, it would set the place alight. Mm. They love him.
But that's not a realistic solution right now. Newcastle needs a solution at the moment as soon as possible. Yeah, okay. But you got to understand, you got games coming up and you need points to get. You know, we can discuss about which manager, but the days are passing by and the games are passing by, you know, in order for you to get points to get to safety.
So because
do you know what Eddie Howe does? It gives them time. There you go. It gives them time.
Only if he gets them out of the bottom three.
But it gives them time. As I said,
and he can persuade good players to join in January.
I think this group of players is good enough not to be in the bottom three of the Premier League. I really,
think
really
Ryan
think
Fraser's that. Looking forward to seeing him again?
Yeah, he might have to work on
or Callum Wilson.
Callum Wilson, you love Callum Wilson.
Do you think so?
Yeah. Right. He's not going to ignore Callum Wilson, the best player they've got.
Okay, well, it'll be interesting. Mourinho's verdict on the change at Tottenham, I did smile. Conte's good, said Jose Mourinho.
All right, okay, nice one, Jose.
But Nuno is very good.
What, Espirito Santo?
Yes, he threw his weight behind.
Fellow countrymen.
Yes.
Yeah. Hello, countryman.
Conte was never his favourite, was he?
No. There's plenty of spats with him, didn't he? Yeah.
Right man, right time?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's the right man, right time. I think Tottenham is a good one on Conte. You know, the way how you were speaking after the game yesterday as well, you know, his press conference and how he was, you know, so frustrated of the way how they gave that lead away. He's the right man because he has that winning mentality. Yeah. And what I like about it, he doesn't cut slack. So he's straightforward. If you perform, you can do everything that you want. But if you don't perform, and it doesn't matter who you are, you go to the side of the pitch, you go benched, or you go even to the stands. Mm. You do not care who you are. And I think that mentality, that winning mentality, has been lacking for Tottenham for years.
Well, you can't say, no, come on, Mourinho has a winning mentality.
I was just about to say,
they got one of the best winners.
No, I'm not saying about the manager. I'm saying about the players in general. Yes. Yeah, just the players that you got in the squad.
See,
right
I think
now.
They've appointed Mini-Me. I say
you really
that.
Think so?
Yes, I do. I say that on the basis that a Chelsea legend.
Juicy, you mean?
Yeah, Chelsea legend once said to me when he went to Stamford Bridge, if those boys think that they're going to have an easier and better time under Conte than they did under Mourinho, think again.
Yeah, I know.
It always ends the same way. Yes, we'll enjoy his energy. Yes, it's great to have him back. Yes, I wish Tottenham well, but the other big problem they've got, of course, is £1 billion stadium debt.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they've said to Conte about spending, because there isn't any money.
They must have given.
Let me ask you this: do you think the Levi will give him a carte blanche and do whatever you want
no.
with the team, or is
Why
he going to be sit on?
What do you mean with the team?
As in, you know, he's always as a president, he's always involved in team selection. Mm.
Well,
involved
not,
in the
well,
team
not selection so much. No. To be
okay,
fair to him,
recruitment into the team or whatsoever. Do you think he let Conte go ahead and do his and give him a stamp about it on the
I
team
think
Conte involved too much?
Nige. Conte must have a list of players. They all do, the managers, even when they're out of work. They have a list of players. Right, if I get back in, these are some of the players I'm going to try and get.
Right.
And I think he'll have a list of players that he'll go to Daniel Levy with and say, this is what I'd like. I'm obviously not going to get them all. But if he gives them half a dozen names and says, if you can get me three of those, then we can move on.
I'll bet there's people on that list that he took to see the owners of Inter recently and said, have him on the title. Here's six I need. And they went,
maybe.
Really? We haven't got any money.
Yeah, go on. See you later.
But he would have done that before he...
Possible, and it does bother me, I have to say, because it's a fine football club, despite my allegiance to the Super Sky Blues. I love Villa. Love the stadium, training ground, set up, used to be, you know, deadly. Slightly concerned about Dean Smith at the moment, which is why we're going to talk to Andy Townsend. Right. Who, Nigel, I think you've come on board. You sit and watch football with us now here in the Middle East. Yeah. So we take world feed from London, which often includes Andy Townsend as a co-commentator. Correct. In my view, the best by about a million miles since Andy Gray put down his co-commentary mic. I think
he's
terrific,
the best,
Andy. There's no false expectation or excitement about
it. It's straightforward knowledge about the game, as he was also a football player. And a
rule one, Nigel, for a co-commentator, tell me something I haven't just seen.
Yeah.
But also know when to stay silent.
Correct.
Silence is lost. Well,
that's because, in my view, I think too many radio commentators are now working in television
TV.
And vice versa. Yeah. There's a mix these days,
and
I think they tend to forget who they're working for. They do so many games, apart from anything else.
Yeah, they do a lot.
But the art of silence is...
Andy's the best.
So we can say here that he's by far the best.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
And at the moment, he's not listening, so...
No, he's all right at the moment. Yeah.
Let's call Andy Townsend. Good.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
And here is that aforementioned co-commentator.
Another Andra.
Another Andra, yes, although I don't think he goes under Andra. It's Andy Townsend.
No, I call him Andra. Well, and he said my phone is Andra.
Well, right. How are we doing, guys?
Probably best to start the conversation, Andy. Brilliant.
Dive straight into it.
Yeah.
How are we doing?
Brilliant. Thank you, Richard. Really good to hear from you and Andy and Nigel. Everything's good this MPL.
Except at Aston Villa. Andy, we might as well start there.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Certainly at the moment, it's a little bit of a worrying time. Look, I've spoke to Dean on a number of occasions, and as we all know, his pedigree, and he's a Villa man absolutely through and through. And so you'd like to see things continue in an upward fashion. But just at the minute, they've hit a bit of a brick wall, and they've chopped and changed from a back three to a four, which always is a little bit of a worry. Mm. So they're trying to find the right balance since Grealish has gone, and they're trying to get Danny Ings and Watkins and Bailey and Buendia and all these boys out there. And it's at the moment they can't quite find the right balance. But things are going to have to improve, I think, Richard, pretty quickly.
How much of it is external noise, Andy, and how much does he still have the support after this week's dreaded vote of confidence?
I know. I think the support locally, Richard, is unequivocal. I think it's absolutely 100%. Good. I think the fans would absolutely be right behind Dean. There's no question of that. Look, it's just that we're, as ever, this competitive, and the minute you start wandering downwards and you start potentially going in the bottom three, and I'm not saying that's going to happen, but when you go in the bottom three, owners, they just panic. They do, and even after 10, 11 games, there will be a lot of concern, I think, from above Dean Smith and in the boardroom with the owners. So he's got to prevent that from happening, quite frankly. They need a couple of victories. They need something. They need to just they're conceding poor goals again.
Yeah, they
had a spell of that just after they got promoted. They had a spell of conceding really rubbish goals, and I'm seeing a lot of ordinary ones going in again at the moment, so need to get it sorted quickly.
How long would you give him? I mean, I'm like you. I don't want to see Dean go because I've got a lot of respect for him, and he is a Villa man, 100%. But there's always a but, that even with all that behind you, you're only going to get a certain amount of time if you don't turn it round.
Once you, Andy, start going towards, if you don't get a win on the board, what are they, four without victory now, four straight defeats? Once you start getting up to six and seven defeats, you're in trouble. There is no, you're in trouble, and he will be aware of that. He will absolutely be aware of that. The club have spent a lot of money. The squad is thicker and therefore should be more competitive than perhaps it's ever been since they got promoted. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine that Dean's going to be right under pressure if he doesn't get a win in
the... Has the John Terry leaving in any way affected what's going on at Villa?
I it's a good one, that. I mean, I can understand why John would want to go and be a number one somewhere, mm-hmm. and of course I'm sure he will. That will materialise at some point. I've no doubts about that. Richard O'Kelly, who's someone that's worked with Dean for such a long time, also left recently, and I have no idea why that was this. And some people just want to do other things with their life, and maybe that's the case. But it doesn't help, Andy.
No.
It doesn't help.
I think it's crucial. It was crucial for Aston Villa as well to have Terry in that squad, because he was a little bit of the extension from the dressing room, from the players to Dean Smith as well. So I think, and the main target now for Dean Smith is not to lose the dressing room. You know, we all been players before.
Yeah.
You know, when you get a couple of these bad spells, you might lose the dressing room. Forget about the board and about the fans. Sorry, it's about the football players.
You're talking to two old school guys that
I'm talking never
in a dressing room.
Okay, let me rephrase that. I'm talking
to different in your day.
I'm talking to two professional retired football players and one who thinks he knows the game. Okay, so
that's fair.
This was not towards you, Keezy. Not at all.
Nigel, you're right. You're right in the sense of that. I think John was, you know, John was an important part of what Villa had. I really do. Yeah. I think that he's such a modern day player.
Yeah.
And such a great centre half. He could only have helped, and no coincidence. I think that after the pandemic, after we sort of got going again here, that their defensive work improved. I think during that period, they did a lot of work with those guys, and clearly there were signs that they had started to have something at the back which looked reliable. And I'm afraid it's gone in the other direction again now.
Do you worry about them, Andy?
I think there's three worse, and I think there's more than three worse than Aston Villa. But look, Villa Park as well, is the fans are brilliant, but they can also be, you know, they can also be demanding. And if you're not on it, if you're not up to speed, and if you don't look like it's happening, it can be a tough place to go and play.
What do you think about the recruitment after Grealish was leaving to City, and the money that got spent by Aston Villa, but the players are coming in? Do you think we heard Dean Smith saying as well, and it was quite premature, that he thought Villa was a better team now without Grealish than with Grealish last year.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think the recruitment is better this year if you look back from last year with Grealish in the team?
Yeah, I think I don't think, Nigel, you could argue that. I think Danny Ings was a good signing for Aston Villa. I do. I think he's a goal scorer, and I think with Watkins they have the ability to play two up front with those boys now. I think Buendia is a good footballer as well. It's early days for him in the Premier League, but I do think he's a good player. He's a good footballer. And look, I think the most important thing for any team like Villa that are trying to establish themselves, maybe as a top 10 team, is the size and the depth of the squad. You know, I think in previous seasons, it's never been, whenever they've lost one or two key players, then they've always looked a little bit thin, but that's not the case now. So they've spent good money. They've got a very healthy squad of players. It's now trying to find that right balance.
Has he given himself a problem then, Andy? I agree with you. I think they are better. I think the depth of the group is much better than it was last season. I think the money they invested in Buendia and Danny Ings and Leon Bailey hopefully will prove to be money well spent. I think on the surface it looks good. But by giving himself more options, has he given himself more problems?
Yeah. Yeah, that absolutely, I think, is where we are right now. I think Dean is in amongst trying to get a result. He's chopped and changed a little bit, and he's looking for a spark. He's looking for something we all know that it can happen this way. Yeah. Sometimes managers stumble into a formation, they drop into something, and it works for them, and all of a sudden they're up and running. But I think, do you play Watkins and Ings, or do you play Buendia and Bailey, either side of one of those two? Do you play Buendia as a 10 and maybe someone else out in one of the wide areas? Do you go with a back three? Do you go with a four? And I just think personally for Villa, and I would have gone with the four at the back that was working for them.
Yeah, me too.
Whilst they had Jack Grealish, for a while there, they had a back four that was working well, and Tyrone Mings has looked like he's making mistakes and that he's vulnerable, and so therefore all of a sudden you want to put somebody else in there, a bit like Man United have done recently, you know, playing a four, and all of a sudden they chuck another one in there to try and thicken things up. But I think Dean's got options, and he's trying to utilise those options. But now they've got to that point where I don't think anybody quite knows which way to go right now. Yeah. And that can be a very tricky situation for the coach. He's got to get it right.
We need to change gear on this. Far too serious. All I would say is, and I want to go on record as such as saying, I hope no harm comes to Villa, because I'm looking forward to getting the derby back on next year. Always a good
thing. Well, we're not going
to. Yeah, very much so, Andrew.
Well, who's coming up?
The biggest club in the West Midlands. That's
well, at least that's 6 points. That's 6 points for us, Andy, guaranteed next year.
I was about to say. That's standard.
Andy, I've never asked, and I need to, because I've been thinking about it before we spoke today. Everybody that played for Ireland has got a story as to how that happened. What's yours?
My story, how that happened. So
you've got a good Irish accent, to be fair, Andy. I mean, you hide it very well.
Big Jack came down to watch me play for Norwich at Millwall, and I saw him after the game, and the first thing he said to me was, "You were crap." And I said, "Thanks very much for that. It's very nice of you." And he said, "If you want to come and play for me," he said, "and you do as you're told and you listen," he said, "you'll enjoy yourself." And that's exactly what he said. And that's all he said. And then he shook my hand and he said, "I'll see you in a couple of weeks, hopefully." And then he turned and walked away. And that was it. I'm afraid there was no rolling out of the red carpet and no taking me out and talking to me about the project and about this and that and what's going to happen. It's purely a case of, listen, this is it. Come and be a part of it, and I think you'll have a lot of fun. And, I think he was right.
Any trouble with the national anthem when your first cap? Did you know which was yours?
Sheena Fina Foyle. It's all we out.
Good boy.
I didn't have any trouble there, but it was very, very special times. And of course, it's been sad over the last year. Mm. You know, we lost Big Jack last year, which was such a shame, because he was, and I spent a bit of time with him actually in his final 12 months, and it was lovely to be with him. But of course, suffering with dementia and everything else, it was also quite a sad time for me, because he was such a force of nature, and to unfortunately see him in his later days was a wee bit sad. But what a man, what a great man.
Fabulous guy. Listen, would you have rather have had a night out with Jack or Gazza?
No, it's funny. I've got a cracker for you here, right? So we were playing Sunderland in a derby, Middlesbrough Sunderland, right? When Reedy, does Reedy still come over and work with you boys? Does he still come over?
Well, COVID's rather been restricting the invites we've been able to offer, Andy. But yes, going forward is the answer.
So anyway, you're like this. So we're playing Sunderland at the stadium alight the next day. So it's a Friday night, and Gazza says to me, "Neil Diamond is on in Newcastle this evening. Shall we go and see Neil Diamond?" And I said, "Well, you know, we all know the rules. You can't go out the night before a game, et cetera, et cetera." So anyway, within about 5 minutes, we got the jeans and the T-shirt and we're off to Newcastle to go and see Neil Diamond. So, and Gazza says, "I've got us in a box." He said, "I've got us in a box." He said, "So we're cruising." I said, "All right, okay, fair enough." So we get in this box, one beer each. That's all we've got, one bottle of beer each, right? And we're standing. Anyway, who walks in the box? In walks Reedy and Inchy and Adrian Inch. Right? So Reedy comes over. He comes straight over to me and Gaz. And he went, hey, you two. You're out of order. What are you doing in here? Right? And so Gaz has gone, "Leave it. Reedy, man, leave off. Reedy, man, it's only you lot." He said, "You lot are rubbish. What am I, you tomorrow? Don't worry about that." So Reedy went, "Here's the deal." He said, if we beat you tomorrow," he said, "I'm telling Robbo you're in here." Ryan Robson said, "If we beat you tomorrow, I'm telling the manager after the game you were here." He said, "If you beat us, I won't say a word." So anyway, following day, we're on the bus on the way to the ground. As soon as we walked into the dressing room area, Gazza starts singing with his voice, right? And Reedy come out, and Reedy sort of half has a look at us, etc. I keep saying to Gaz, "Shut up, Gaz, don't keep winding him up. Just keep a lid on it, for Christ's sake." So
Anyway, we played a game, we score, and all of us lads are celebrating behind the goal. We go 1-0 up. I've looked at Gazza, he's run straight over to the dugout.
No,
right? He's in front of Reedy with a bit of air guitar, giving it Sweet Caroline. Right? And so I've shouted to one of the boys, I've said, someone go and grab him quick. Go and get someone. So obviously one of the lads went over and grabbed him and pulled him away. We went 2-0 up. The next thing, he's on one knee in front of Reedy's dugout going, we're coming to America.
Brilliant.
Honestly, Ash, you've never seen nothing like it. But thankfully, we won the game, and Reedy, a good man of his word, didn't say a word to Brian Robson. He kept saying, what is it with Neil Diamond today with you guys? And he said, you've gone mad on Neil Diamond or something. Anyway, fantastic. We got away with it. But there you go.
So that answered the question. Read a night out with Gazza.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So maybe Gazza shades that one, Nigel. I think he does.
Are we in a position where we can tell Nigel what playing golf with Gazza is like if you're not playing especially well, Andy?
Well, he's. I haven't seen much of Gaz lately. Nigel, I ought to sort out a game of golf for you and Gazza. I think that would be a good
idea. Oh, yeah, get me on.
All that you've got to do is, Nigel, you just must make sure that when you finish the game, that you put your shoes, your clubs, your clothes, everything you've taken with you, put it straight in your car. Otherwise, it might go missing.
Missing, in the sense of...
Listen, honestly, no, this is such a good story.
Yeah, we're playing golf, and I just bought the Callaway Great Big Bertha. Do we all remember that?
Right, yeah.
And I was hitting it, left off one minute, right the next, along the floor, up in the air. I just couldn't hit it at all. Anyway, we had these two little caddies, and we got to about the two or three holes from about the 15th tee, and I said to this young kid, I said, go on, have a go with this club. You go on, see if you can hit it. And this little kid, he takes a knock and he clips one down the middle and he hits it quite well. So we get to the 18th and we give these two young lads a couple of quid each, a few quid. And I said to him, here, look, you can have this club. I said, get your dad to chop the handle, put a new grip on it, make it a bit smaller for you. I said, it's yours. Thank you very much, this little kid said. You know, he was absolutely delighted. So anyway, Gazza looked at me in a little wink and he said, oh, that's nice, that, mate. And I said, look, you can have that club. I said, because I'm rubbish with it. I said, so you keep it. Oh, thank you very much. So anyway, we go into the clubhouse, we have a sandwich, and I'm driving back down south, and I come outside, and my little caddy disappeared. Gazza's gone. And the only one that was outside was Gazza's caddy, and there was my golf bag sat there, and there was nothing in my golf bag. So I said to my, and by the way, I just bought this set and I had all the irons, all the gear. I just bought a lot. And I said to this little caddy, I just said to him, excuse me, mate, I said, where's all my clubs? And he said, oh, your caddy's got them. And I said, the caddy's got all of them. Yeah, he said, Gazza give him to him. And I said, Gazza's given him all my clubs. He said, yeah, you're rubbish for the rest of them as well.
He was respectful
for broadcasting purposes.
Yeah, you did tone that down a bit. Well done, son.
Fantastic.
But how long did you share like an abode with Gazza up there in Middlesbrough, Andy?
For about 2 years, Andy.
Wow.
For a couple of years. I mean, we had, you know, it's a shame. I mean, I never got to see the absolute best Gazza. I mean, the best Gazza was an outrageous footballer. He was, yes. But he was incredible fun to be with, and it was an interesting time, really. I must say, because we had such an experienced dressing room. We had Gary Pallister, we had Ince, we had Paul Merson,
God, yeah. We
had Nigel Pearson. We had a lot of guys in there at that time that were. We were all the sort of same thing, coming towards the end of our time.
Yeah.
And then Robbo went and signed Gazza to put the lid on the lot of it, you know. So
icing on the cake.
But it was great fun. And he owes me £7 million from snooker. And he kept going double or nothing. And honestly, he never beat me in 2 years. And I racked it. I added it all up. It was about £7.5 million.
Wow.
Andrew, we'll let you go. I know you're playing golf this morning.
Were you playing, Andrew, today?
I'm a Broadway and today.
Oh,
Broadway,
very lovely.
Are you not in Maidstone?
Very lovely Broadway.
Oh, yeah?
The sun has just popped its head between the clouds, so we might have a dry round as well.
Listen, Andy, and the next time I'm up in UK, we definitely need to link up because I'm a proper golf junkie.
We'll link up tonight.
Yeah, bring plenty of
golf clubs and plenty of
absolutely.
Anyway, I'll give you a shout next week, Andrew. I'm going to be back in England next week. I'll give you a shout.
Do that, mate.
Sorry, son.
Looking forward to seeing you.
Nice one.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, Andrew.
Great talk. Thanks,
man.
Great talk.
Great talk.
Andy Townsend.
Good lad.
Can you imagine 2 years
of Gaza? Obviously, we know Andy very well, Geezy, but and he told us, Nige, honestly, that's only a fraction of the stories he could have told us.
I know.
A fraction.
It was limited time, but I would love to sit down with him for one afternoon and just listen to these.
Well, he gave his mate, Jimmy Fivebelly's Imac.
Mm.
You know Imac, the hair removal?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Jimmy asked for some
gel
for his hair. And Gaza went, I've got some. And he goes, here, stick that on your hair. That'll be fantastic. It's a great gel. So he gave him a big load of Imac and he's gone and brushed it on his hair like that and brushed it through. And about half an hour later, he ran his fingers through his hair and all his hair was coming out.
There was no malice, not a nasty bone in Gaza's body. He was just a lovely, lovely fella, haunted by an illness that has destroyed so many down the years.
Just but a big prankster, wasn't he?
He was just a fabulous footballer, Nigel. I mean, fabulous football.
Yeah, he was.
At his best. And sadly, we didn't see him at his best after the injury.
Not enough.
Well, he never got back to being as good as he was.
No.
And yet he was still fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I really got the hang of him when I watched him against our team. In Netherlands in 96, and he was fabulous on that too.
And by the way, Nigel, he was nowhere near
his best.
No one near.
No.
But can you just imagine?
Different
just
imagine class.
Of what kind of
It was amazing.
We will not be here next week. Two reasons for that. Andy and I are will be elsewhere in the world. Yeah. Nigel doubtless has got a fashion show after party, or he'll be promoting a Grand Prix. He'll be very, very busy in the time.
Testing racing cars or something like that.
Are you guys not invited? Oh, sorry.
No.
No. Randall and Hopcock.
Yeah.
I mean, no. We're
Andrew
not,
Keys and Richard Gray.
Yeah,
no idea.
No idea. Who are they?
Okay.
Anyway, thanks for trying. Nice to get us out there. Cheers, pal.
Don't arrange any tickets. So what's
the
No, we'll be fine, Nige. Honestly,
I find you guys quite fashionable sitting here on this table with shorts and like quite fashionable. So you might like a fashion show once in a while.
I'll give it a miss. But you obviously have. How was Naomi, by the way? Is she okay?
She was okay. Yeah, she was okay. Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Anyone else there that we would enjoy the company of?
No,
us. No chance. Nobody.
Nobody. I don't think. I think former football players, England. English celebrities? No.
Thanks for listening. Thanks to Andy Townsend as well. I wish Dean Smith all the luck in the world.
Yeah,
I think he's he's a proper
big
guy.
Big game on my Friday night. Southampton away. Yeah. Massive game.
By which time this will have sort of come and gone.
That's what I'm saying. So, I'm hoping it's gone well.
Yeah,
for
wishing well. Keys and Grey Pod is the place to get to us, and we'll see you in a fortnight's time. There's so much else to listen to in our back catalogue.
Like that.
You can find, and you could just call up on Alexa, which you've now finally got. Shouter.
Alexa, play something.
We'll see you next week.
I have it quick, master.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.